Main Menu. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Main Menu, ACB Radio's look at technology from a blindness perspective. This week, we bring to you the recently completed Reading Machines Seminar, sponsored by the Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Would you like to learn more about reading machines that utilize optical character recognition or screen magnification technology to make printed material available to the blind and visually impaired? Stay tuned for this two-hour program coming right up on ACB Radio Main Menu.
Good afternoon, everyone. Hello. My name is Julie McCarthy, and I'm the Human Resource Manager here at Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired. I want to welcome you to the fourth in our series of technology seminars. This one concerns reading machines. I'm sorry, you're having trouble with volume? Okay. Is this better? I'm a little bit away from the mic. Okay. So I want to extend a warm welcome to those of you who are joining us by conference call, by internet connection, or listening to us through ACB radio. For those of you here in the room, you may have already found, and for those of us who are just coming in, that each person has a bottle of water, a power ball, a power bar. A power ball is a whole different thing. And a CD in the chair. The CD contains materials from our presenters for you to take with you. These documents are also available on our website, which is www.lighthouse-sf.org. Restrooms are located about 15 feet outside this room on the right-hand side in the hallway. There's also one to the rear of the kitchen. Now, let's go over today's agenda. We have four panels, and on panel one, which concerns new products in the world of OCR and moderated by Ayaka Isono of Lighthouse, we have Mark Gibbons from Sterling Adaptives. He'll talk about the KNFB model. OpenBook 8.0 and Sarah's Scanning and Reading Aloud appliance will be covered by Damon Pickering of Freedom Scientific. Panel number two, portable CCTVs, which will be moderated by Frank Welty, also of Lighthouse for the Blind. We will talk about the Amiga, the Acrobat LCD, and Amy Gilmore from A&E Low Vision will cover the Nemo. Mark Stimson from Access Ingenuity will cover the Onyx Desk Set 17, which is a portable video magnifier. And Ed Wigdell from Humanware will cover My Reader. Panel number three, which is users of OCR technology and moderated by Frank Welty and Jesse Lorenz, both of Lighthouse, have on their panel Ronald Hideshima from Access Technology. He's an instructor, he's an Access Technology instructor from Living Skills Center for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Also on that panel is Patty Quinones-Hudson, who's an Access Technology teacher here at Lighthouse. And panel four, which is users of portable CCTV and handheld magnification devices, also moderated by Frank Welty and Jesse Lorenz, will include Silvana Rainey from Adaptive Technology Services and Chris Piper from Sensory Access Foundation. So now that you've got an overview, I'd like to introduce Jesse Lorenz, our Director of Public Policy and Information Services here at Lighthouse, and she'll go over a few ground rules before we begin our first panel. Jesse?
Welcome to all of you joining us here in person, and for the first time, this time we are really pleased to be able to welcome folks joining us through ACB Radio. I want to let you know that we're going to do the panel discussions this afternoon. And for those of you who are not here in person who may have questions, you can send an email with your question to the email address info@lighthouse-sf.org. So you send your, those of you who are not with us here in the audience today can send questions to info@lighthouse-sf.org. We may have some time at the end of each panel for questions from folks in our audience here today. And if you do ask a question, I ask that you wait to have the microphone in order to make sure that the folks on the telephone conference call and over the internet can hear. You need to be mic'd. So that's a pretty important ground rule. All of that said, I want to introduce Ayaka Isono, the moderator of our first panel, and we'll begin.
Hello, can everybody hear me? Okay, I don't want to be too loud or too soft, so I just want to make sure people can hear me. My name is Ayaka Isano. I work here at the Lighthouse, and I work at a department called Access to Information Services. We also do the radio, so some of you probably recognize my voice from the radio that we do. All right, and I have a sheet here in Braille, so make sure that it's not upside down first. Okay, the first panel we have here, so we have Damian Pickering from Freedom Scientific, and also Mark Gibson from Starling Adaptives. So Damian, why don't you give us a short introduction about yourself and also the product you're going to be talking about.
Thank you, Ayaka, and special thanks also to Jesse Lorenz and all of you here at the Lighthouse for putting together yet another well-organized and well-attended presentation. I'm Damian Pickering of Freedom Scientific. I am the Western Regional Sales Manager, covering all of California and Arizona. Today, I am going to be talking about the new release of OpenBook. This is OpenBook 8.0, optical character recognition software, and the SARA scanning and reading appliance by Freedom Scientific. And afterwards, I understand we'll have some time for hands-on demonstrations and so forth. So I'm very pleased to be here. Thank you.
Thanks, Damian. Okay, go ahead, Mark.
Okay, my name is Mark Gibbons. Just to let you know, I have my own company here in the North Bay Area called Starling Adaptives. In fact, I've worked with blindness and low vision for just over 20 years now. My parents started a company originally in the UK in 1979, manufacturing video magnifiers for people who had low vision. I'm here today with the brand new KNFB mobile reader, which is the next generation of mobile reader from KNFB Technologies. They are still going to be producing the classic version, which originally was designed using a high-powered digital camera and a PDA, but they've now developed the software to move forward and to put it onto a cell phone, the Nokia N82. So now you actually can carry around everything in the palm of your hand, and on the mobile you can take pictures of documents and have them read back. Thank you.
Okay, great. I have a feeling I said Mark Gibson, but his name is Mark Gibbons, so it's my mistake. Apology. Okay, so I have a few questions, some basic questions that we're going to start with here. So let's start with Freedom, since Damian, you start introducing yourself first. Tell us about the product you're talking about, OpenBook and also SARA. What is so special about those products? And so it's sort of like a sales point that I'm sure you're so used to repeat, because I know you attend many conferences. So tell us about the products that's so special about them, please.
Thank you. Well, one of the factors of Freedom Scientific as a company, we merged in 2000, and we brought both software and hardware expertise together under one roof. And the products such as the PacMate or NoteTaker are an example of having that hardware and software expertise, where we would bundle a software product that people would be familiar with, such as JAWS, into a note-taker package. So there's a similar connection between our software product, OpenBook, which goes back to our parent company, Arkenstone days, and the SARA standalone reading machine. So just as the PacMate could be thought of as JAWS in an integrated hardware note-taker solution, the SARA is OpenBook in a standalone machine that is a computer and scanner all in one, with a very intuitive, simplified keypad interface, and the Sarah would be more for individuals who are not wanting to be computer users, maybe have a somewhat are intimidated by computers, but it's also something that is useful in public access settings such as schools or libraries, because it offers a wealth of scanning and reading features, human sounding voices, low vision features, the ability to connect it to a monitor and have what is being read audibly displayed prominently on a screen and in the font and magnification of the user's choice, control over colors, background, that kind of thing, and the words that are being spoken are being highlighted on the screen. The Sarah is a machine that really requires very little training. It's can be used with a minimum of key presses. It has a help button that instantly turns on a key describer mode, so what few keys there are, their function can be announced simply by pressing them. So in those settings, like libraries, a machine like the Sarah can turn virtually every book in that collection into a large print and audio book, in a very simple and straightforward way. Open Book is for people who are computer users, people who really want to have more interaction and control over the document. They want to go beyond simply scanning and knowing what it is, but more like students or professionals who want to have access to a document, want to be able to add in comments, footnotes, margin notes, do searches on websites such as Bookshare, access DAISY materials, although the Sarah does also have a DAISY reader. Can control with have different voices, do different things. So if you want the menu to be read in one voice and the documents to be read in another, you have access to many features like that. I'll just hit a few bullet points of features that have been added since the last Open Book release. We now have Braille support included, so you can also access the documents through a Braille display without needing screen reader support such as JAWS. We do the DAISY. The DAISY reader is new. Of course, the obvious would be the latest in OCR engines from FineReader and OmniPage. So you're getting the top in optical character recognition. So I want to encourage people to read through the What's New in Open Book, which is listed on the Freedom Scientific website at freedomscientific.com. You can quickly do a links list, type O for Open Book, and it'll take you right there. And there are quite a number of bullet points that really give detail on all of the changes and features. And then at the bottom there is a link where people can download a demo of the latest Open Book. And that is a demo that is going to run with full functionality for 40 hours. So it's not something that will time out and you'd have to reboot your computer. So I do want everybody who wants to experience that to have access to that.
This is Jessie, and we have a question from Fernando, who's in our virtual audience. Fernando has a question about the new version of Open Book, Damien. He says that in previous versions of Open Book, when you scanned a book, you could listen to it in a high-quality synthetic voice. However, when you went to the Save as MP3 feature in the program, you couldn't use that same high-quality voice. You had to use a not-so-great quality voice for the Save as MP3. Has this changed in the new version of Open Book?
I believe that it has. The overall voices have changed. We are no longer using the Via voice. The default now is Eloquence, the same voice that people would be familiar with from the JAWS product. We also include the latest RealSpeak solo voices, and we support both SAPI 5 and SAPI 4 synthesizers. And the MP3 and audio processing has been updated as well. So the answer is yes.
Thank you. Before moving to Mark, I have a question. So Damien, if you could tell us how many languages, like different Spanish, French, Italian, can OpenBook or CEREC recognize since it's the OCR software?
The SARA, I believe, is about a dozen different languages, certainly the ones that you've mentioned. I don't have the exhaustive list memorized. That would be listed also on our website. Portuguese, Norwegian, Danish, or some other ones, German. One of the features of the new Open Book is that we're now working with Unicode, which, again, I don't know what the conclusive list of languages that we support, but the fact that we're now working in the Unicode environment has dramatically expanded the number of supported languages.
Great, thank you. Moving on to Mark, tell us about...
Are you taking
questions from the audience? Not at this point. We will later.
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, Mark, tell us about KNFB Mobile, because this one had a lot of media coverage, so I think many people heard about this. So what is so special about this?
In a nutshell, I think the most special thing about it is the fact it sits in the palm of your hand, which is very, very unique in this industry to have something that is that portable, that is as powerful as the KNFB mobile reader. Again, as I mentioned before, the product was designed by Ray Kurzweil, who many of you may have heard of before, but he's considered one of the leading developers of OCR, specifically for people who are visually impaired. As far as I know, unless anybody else knows differently, this is the most portable OCR product available on the market today, and as at the moment there isn't a competition to it. Both the devices that you can get from KNFB, the classic and the mobile, will read all kinds of printed documents, including letters, pages from books. It'll also read address labels, package information and instructions. You can use the flash memory built into the phone, which you can change for larger flash memory should you wish, to store pages. And then you could later on transfer the text to your computer if you're a computer user. That sounds rather short as an answer, but I think the defining point over the competition is, as at the moment, there isn't a competition to it. And secondly, it is the most portable OCR scanning device available.
That sounds great. Let's talk about price. So give us the price. Maybe start with Freedom. Go ahead.
The SARA scanning and reading appliance is retail at $2,795. And really what you're paying for there is ease of use, ease of training, simplicity, and reliability. Open Book is $995. But one of the really nice things that our user base, I think, will be very glad to hear is that no matter what version of OpenBook you have, the upgrade to OpenBook 8 is $150 even.
And do you see many DOR counselors purchasing those for their clients?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's pretty popular. Okay, how about KNFB Mobile?
Okay, so the KNFB mobile, the original Classic is still going to be available for those people who want it. Now, that product, when it first came to the market, was $3,500. It is now $1,995.
Wow.
The mobile product, of course, is built in two parts, is the software that goes onto the cell phone and the cell phone itself, the Nokia N82. The Nokia N82 retails in the region of $600. Now, it is possible within a short space of time that maybe some of the carriers like AT&T or T-Mobile may start to offer this camera with a plan, which will mean the camera, the cost of the phone will come down, I would expect, significantly. But there is no guarantee that either of those companies will actually take the phone on to supply to the general public because of the high-end type of phone it is. The software, the mobile KNFB software, is $1,595. That's the retail price on it. So in all, if you buy the phone and the software together, you're looking at about $2,200.
And do you see some of the DORs are purchasing those for the clients, or you see more individual clients just purchasing it because they like to have it but not going through DOR?
I think as it comes down to most purchases through Department of Rehab, some counsellors will see it as being a useful tool to buy people and some people may not see it as a useful tool. If you buy it as a phone with the mobile reader, unless you have a plan with AT&T and T-Mobile, it won't work as a phone. It'll only work as a portable reader. So there are those points that you can put across to people if they're concerned about, I'm buying you a cell phone. And now, of course, if you do want to have it as a cell phone with accessibility products on it, so you want to have a screen reader on it, that will cost you around about $300 for either the Torx or the Mobile Speak products to go on it.
Okay, thank you. Anna, we're going to move on to the next question. We know the answer to this for the KNFB mobile. So the products, are they portable because we like to go somewhere and we like to use those products and some are just desktop, so we can't really take it with us. So how does it work, Damien, Alpenberg, and Sarah?
well, obviously, the Open Book is as portable as the computer system that you're working with. So if you have a laptop and one of the current off-the-shelf flatbed scanners, I mean, it is feasible to put that into a backpack or a rolling suitcase or something of that nature. The Sarah weighs about 22 pounds. It is meant as a desktop unit, so again, something that would primarily stay in one location, a study at home or obviously the school resource room or a library. But it is a durable enough product that if you wanted to pick it up and move it from room to room or throw it in a rolling suitcase and take it with you, it you could do that, but I wouldn't define it as a portable product.
Okay, and as we know, KNFB Mobile is quite small, so it is portable. Is that correct, Mark? Am I correct on that?
Yeah, it's the size of a cell phone. One thing I will point out as a cell phone goes, though, which is quite nice, because a lot of modern phones that are on the market are very untactile. In other words, you know, you can't necessarily easily feel the difference between all the numbers and the other buttons. One thing about the Nokia N82 that they're using for this product is that the buttons do stand out and are very tactile.
Right. Okay. How about recognizing currencies? Can they do that? How about Sarah and OpenBook?
OpenBook 8, there is a buck scan feature, so-called, and that has been updated so it handles all the latest bills, from $1 to $2 bill all the way up to 100, yes. And that functionality will be a part of the next Sarah firmware update.
Okay, thank you. Mark?
Yes. Sorry.
Nice.
No, it does note bills, and basically you just use a different button on the phone to go into that mode. So there is no need to, with the mobile reader, to go into settings and change it, which you do have to do from between columns and non-columns. You just use a different digit on the pad, the number pad, to automatically take a picture of the bill that you want to recognize.
Okay. I'm just going to ask two more questions quickly. What sort of tech support and training do you guys provide? How about Freedom Scientific?
Freedom Scientific has close to 20 people that are in their tech support department and are available to do either email inquiries or phone inquiries. We do have a 90-plus percentile first call resolution rate on tech support contacts. And then also we do have a very strong dealer distributor network across the country. And I always encourage people to purchase their Freedom Scientific products through the local dealer, because for the same money, you have an extra line of tech support and you have local support right here to go beyond what's available by phone.
And do you want to give us maybe the phone number or contact email?
Sure. support@freedomscientific.com or area code 727-803-8600.
Thank you. Okay, and moving on to Mark for the KNFB Mobile.
Okay, my business, Sterling Adapters, we offer technical support Pacific time, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. We will offer no obligation demonstrations to people in the Bay Area and Northern California. And we certainly do product training, and we like to work with the local training providers for most of that training.
Great. And quickly, I'm going to ask you the contact, and not tech support, but how can we get in touch with you so that we can maybe ask more questions or even purchase products from you? Freedom?
1-800-444-4443 would be the toll-free 800 number.
Great. Mark?
Okay, it's 415-878-2922, or my email address, which is mark, M-A-R-K, at sterlingadaptives.com.
Maybe you can spell that Sterling Adaptive part. It'd be great.
I knew you'd ask a difficult question. STERLINGADAPTIVES .com.
Thank you.
Great. We probably have time for two questions from the audience. Do I have a mic runner who can run the wireless mic? Great. While they run the microphone, I had a question come in from the virtual audience for both of you. Does your product recognize color? And we'll start with you, Mark.
Oh, me.
I like to change things up.
Thank you. The KNFB mobile reader itself does not recognize color, but if you want to have your cell phone's camera recognize color, you can buy a product from Code Factory, who manufacture mobile speak, that will use the camera on the back of the phone to recognize color. Yes.
So it works with Code Factory's color identifier.
Yes. So the mobile reader itself doesn't, but there is a product you can buy for your cell phone to add onto it to enable you to do that.
Great.
And the OpenBook 8.0 has been updated in that it will process colored images, but if I understand the question correctly, it is not a color identifier as such.
Great. And do we have a question from the audience?
Yes.
Yes. And does the individual have a microphone?
No.
Can you say it real? We say your question really loud, sir, over here to my left.
Okay, when a person purchases KNFB reader, would
would you ship it? I know you ship it directly. Was it shipped directly from the factory, or do you have a warehouse that you ship from?
So the question was, so the folks in our other audience, if when someone purchases the KNFB reader, is it shipped directly, or do you ship it from a warehouse? How does that process work?
It's shipped from my business address, and my business address is in Novato in Marin County, North Bay area. I do, sir.
Question was, does he take all major credit cards?
And children.
And children. So we are going to move on to our second panel. I want to thank you guys, and as a parting gift, I have a bottle of wine for each of you, which I promise to give after you
start. Do you have a straw?
While you guys are leaving, I'd like to invite our second panel to come up here and join us.
You're listening to live coverage from the National Lighthouse, the Blind Organization, the Reading Machine Seminar. This is ACB Radio World.
I'm sorry, we did not get to your question, and we were not. We did not have the microphone running, and I want to make sure that the people who are on the virtual audience were able to access it. Got that? Can you give that to Damien? All right. Do we have our panelists up here? Amy, are you up here?
Yes, I'm up here.
And Mark?
I'm going to treat the audience as you are not treating me. I'm leaving.
You're welcome to do that. I'm sorry, ma'am. I just want to make sure that everybody's able to hear the questions. And we do have a time. We do have a tight agenda, and we want to be done by 3 o'clock.
Only one person asked a question.
Are you ready?
What you're doing is insulting.
You ready, Frank?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
I'm going to cancel the check I donate every year, and I'd like to talk to these two people.
Do you have
alone,
a,
if they have
see,
any.
Where is the microphone?
The microphone is right.
Why did you invite me if I cannot get information?
Got it?
I've got the stand, and I'm looking for the microphone here.
No, I want to go with you. I want to stay here.
Here you go. You
heard.
Can take this one.
Thank you.
Does anyone else here have any railroad news like
have
I
a seat.
We're moving on to our next panel discussion, and in this section we're going to deal with a different kind of reading machine, and that is the more a machine which is a little more traditional in general, and that is the video magnifier machines. But they've come out in many new styles, and we're going to hear about a few of them, and we have two panelists here to talk about those. And I am going to first ask each panelist to introduce yourselves and tell us about the product that you have brought with you here today. I'm going to start with Mark Stimson, and then Mark, if you can pass it to your fellow panelists when you're finished, we will continue on.
We have three.
I'm sorry. It's after lunch. What can I tell you?
Great.
All right. Do I need to pass the mic over?
I have my own.
Oh, very good.
But you can give yours to Amy after.
Okay, there you go.
Hi. My name is Mark Stimson, and I'm with Access Ingenuity. We're an access technology and services provider in Northern California. We're headquartered in Santa Rosa, and we also have an office in San Mateo, so we serve this whole area. And we work with all different types of access technology for people with visual impairments, low vision, and blindness, and do training as well. And that's about it on my side. So, Amy, to my right.
Hello. My name is Amy Gilmore. I'm with A&E Low Vision Products. We are the distributor of the Enhanced Vision product line. We work with all nonprofit organizations as well as Department of Rehabilitation within Northern California and also Nevada.
Hi, my name is Ed Wickdahl, and I am with HumanWare, and I am the Western Region regional low vision sales manager. It's a mouthful, but that's what I am. And HumanWare, unlike most of my other colleagues on the panel here, is a manufacturer, and we make both blindness and low vision products. We are headquartered in the U.S. Our U.S. headquarters is in Concord, California, in the Bay Area, and we just moved our global headquarters to Quebec, Canada.
Very good. I'll start with the next question. By the way, did I introduce myself, or did I completely forget to do that in transition?
I think you forgot.
I did forget. I'm Frank Welty, and I am Vision Loss Resource Specialist here at the Lighthouse. And I work here in the afternoons answering phones, and I'm also the person who is the producer of our tactile maps here at the Lighthouse. So moving on to the first question, Amy, tell us about the product that you brought here today and what sets it apart from the competition.
Okay. I brought three different products with me today. Two products are truly portable, and then I have one device that's a transportable type device. The first two portable devices, the first one is called the Nemo, and it's a 4-inch portable CCTV that weighs about 8 ounces. And the camera's on the side, and it takes the image and it displays it on the screen. The dimensions of its units, it's about 6-8 inches long, and it's about 4 inches deep, and it's about a half an inch thick. This particular product, in comparison to other products, they're all pretty similar in the 4-inch product price range and so forth. It does have a very bright picture. The Amigo is a larger size. It has exact same dimensions of the Nemo, with the exception that it is a little bit thicker, so it's about an inch thick, and it has a tiltable screen. And the screen size on this particular product is 6.5 inches. With the Amigo, the magnification goes from 3.5 to 14 times. And with the Nemo, the magnification goes from 4.5 to 9 times. The Amigo is really in a class of its own because of the fact that it's so small and also because of the tiltable screen.
And Mark?
Okay. Hi. What we're demonstrating and showing today is the Onyx Desk Set 17. So Onyx is O-N-Y-X, and it's manufactured by Freedom Scientific, and Damien was here, and we work with them. And the Onyx Desk Set, and I'll just refer to it as the Desk Set, is a 17-inch full standalone CCTV that's basically portable, not in the sense that you can hold it in your hand, but it goes very easily. You can pick it up with one hand very easy into a case and pull that case around on wheels from one room to another. It's really ideal for people who have to have a CCTV or video magnifier in different rooms and take it from one room to another, in conference rooms. It's very good for students. And it's about 12 pounds, and the camera is under a pound itself, and it's also extremely versatile. You can look at things distant, you can look at books, and you can also use it for self-viewing, too. And it also has an excellent memory so that whenever you point it away to look at, let's say, a chalkboard or something across the room, it keeps its memory. And then if you point it back further down to read text, it then remembers, you know, the magnification, the brightness, and so forth of that. So it's an excellent full CCTV that you can move around.
Before we go back over, I didn't get a chance to talk about the Acrobat LCD, the transportable device.
Go ahead.
That particular product is a product that weighs about 18 pounds. It has a handle on the back of the unit. It has a 19-inch monitor, and it has a swing arm that's attached to the back with a track. And this particular system, you can take the camera head and you can move it in all different directions. So you can use it as an inline system. So you can use it for reading and writing and all of your close-up work. You can tilt it back for self-viewing. And then you can also tilt it far away for distance viewing. With this particular system, the controls are on the camera head, so you don't have to have the remote in order to operate the system.
And Ed, you've been patient over there. Tell us about what's the defining characteristic of the MyReader.
The MyReader revolutionized the CCTV industry a couple of years ago in that it does the functions of a CCTV, which is magnify what's in front of it. But what it does additionally, that it actually captures an image of the document that you have on it, and it then takes that image and can manipulate it to the way you want to read it. So that's why it's called the MyReader. And those are several ways. One is an overview mode where you can see the entire document and zoom in and scan around just like any sighted person would. Or you can then look at any detail, decide where you want to read on that page. Or if you hit one of the view modes, you can go into what it does then is it parses all the words and treats them as individual elements. And then you can manipulate by zooming in and making the words larger, and you can make them any colors you want. And then you can select how you want to read it. There's three ways. One is as a column, so it would actually be like a regular column that you would read in a newspaper, but it's magnified. And you can wrap the text to fit the screen that it's on, so you don't have any loss of moving back and forth or getting dizzy or some of those issues. And you can have it actually automatically scroll like a teleprompter, like the newscasters on TV. So it can scroll and teleprompt, or it can you can change the mode to go across in one line like a ticker tape and read that way. Or you can actually have it like flashcards and do one word at a time. So you select how you want to read it, and what colors, what size, what contrast, what speed. Now it's a transportable device, so it has it folds down into itself, and has a built-in handle, so you can transport it just like some of the other products that were mentioned just now. And weighs about 22 pounds. And you can actually do an additional thing where you can add another monitor if you want to have it, the image go to a 42-inch plasma TV or something like that. You can do that. Or if you want to do some distance viewing or see what Myrtle's doing across the street, you can plug in any camcorder, and you can see what's going on with what the camcorder sees. So you have a lot of options all built into one standalone device. It also works with a PC, so you can plug in a PC with it, and you can toggle back and forth between your PC and what the MyReader's image captured, or you can split screen, which would be perfect for transposing, and I think there's somebody here that might even want one of those, but you can actually scroll the text and transpose and type on top of the, on the top half of the document. I did bring two other things just for an addition. One is our portable pocket viewer. It's a small little 4-inch device like Amy mentioned, like the Nemo. It's one of the originals, and it's very cost competitive, very simple and easy to use. And also we have a newer product that's based on our fabulously wildly popular Victor Reader Stream, which is a blindness product, and we have a thing called Classmate, which has the same features as the Victor Reader Stream, but has a little display that you can actually see the text as it's being read to you.
And this would be a good point for me to remind our audience here at the Lighthouse that after the main part of our presentation, our presenters will be on hand to show their products, and this is also a great time to answer those questions that we just don't have time to pick up during our panels. But Ed, while I've got you on the hot seat there, sure. And you mentioned something about your product being price competitive, what are the prices of the products you brought today? And do you have options for financing, or can you recommend, or are you aware of outside financing options for people, say, for example, folks who don't have a big checkbook or a really, really friendly rehabilitation counselor?
Well, as far as price points, the Pocket Viewer is $645. That's the 4-inch portable handheld video magnifier. The Classmate, which is basically the Victor Reader Stream with a display. That's $439. The MyReader, we actually have several versions. We came out with the MyReader originally a couple years ago. Now we have the MyReader 2, which has more features and more storage for the same price, and that's $49.95 with the built-in LCD. Or we actually have it now where you can buy it without an LCD for $38.95, or you can bundle it with a 17, a 19, or a 20-inch LCD for respectively $40.95, $41.95, or $42.95. Now, as far as financing, HumanWare is not in the finance business. We're in the making product business. So either the normal channels of your rehab counselors or agencies or your favorite little credit card is, I guess, all I can offer at the moment.
And Mark, how about the desk set?
Okay, so the desk set 17, which is 17-inch monitor, goes for $2,595, and then there's a brand new 19-inch called the desk set 19, and that's for going for $200 more, so that's $2,795. And then the same thing as what Ed said regarding the financing. You know, we definitely do take your major credit cards, checks, but we do not offer financing. And we also do to have, we have a 30-day money-back guarantee for whatever reason at all. If you don't feel you like it, for whatever reason, we'll definitely come in and pick it up and you can return it. So we definitely guarantee you'd get your money's worth.
Amy?
Okay, the price of the Nemo is with the 4-inch screen, which is $795. The price of the Amigo, which is the portable that has a 6.5-inch screen, the price on that is $1,695. And the price of the 19-inch Acrobat LCD, without the case, it's $2,395. And with a carrying case, it's $2,545. Yes, we do have financing plans that are available through Enhanced Vision. The interest rates are roughly 20%. So if you can get a credit card that has a lower interest rate, we would definitely recommend you doing so. There's also, you know, something that everybody should keep in mind is that there are different grants and different things that are available that you could actually go through if your particular counselor does not get the equipment for you.
Thank you. And Jesse, do we happen to have a question from our online audience?
Not at this time.
Not at this time. Do you think it would be appropriate for me to run out here and get one from the audience here?
We don't have a reliable mic runner at the moment, so let's hold on that. I think you could do that.
Oh, good.
That would be great.
All right, then in a moment we will get a question from the audience. But while we're doing that, I'm going to ask one more question before I relinquish this mic to Kathy, and that is for each of you, and you can just kind of go from your left to right and answer this question. This is a two-part question. First off, how well does each of your products handle color documents? And the second one is, how well do they handle things that aren't flat, like cans or pill bottles?
Let me first.
Yep.
They handle them fine. It depends on the product. The MyReader prefers documents because it's looking at words, and it's kind of a what you see, what you get. So, but as far as colors, it captures the color. You can see the entire document as is on your screen and then magnify it. So colors are not an issue. It also has a regular CCTV mode where you can look at round objects or cans or pills and bills and that type of thing. So it works well either way. The PocketViewer is the same thing. The Classmate doesn't apply because it's using downloadable book information.
Okay. Regarding the color issue, I think the desk set is really one of the best CCTVs I've seen for viewing full color, for pictures and photographs. It just has an excellent image quality there. And also, and all these products now are flat screen CCTVs too, and the desk set also is very good for when you move the object, it doesn't, what we call ghost, it has a very, very good moving quality. The other question.
Things that are not flat.
Oh, things are not flat. I think that it would be best for you to judge yourself. We have them in the back during the demo. So I think for pill bottles, it's really pretty fine. The desk set does not rely on external light, which is what can really cause things that are round, like pill bottles and that are shiny, and that causes difficulty. So when you have a CCTV that relies on ambient light, it could be a little bit better. But I think a lot of people in general have difficulty with round objects, so they kind of have to look and choose on their own.
Color representation on all three products that I have here with me today is great. It recognizes full color, vivid, bright colors, no problem. It also recognizes paler colors, such as flesh tones and so forth, without any issues at all. All the products that I do have the false colors and so forth. So if you do need that negative viewing mode or yellow on blue, yellow on black, whatever the case may be, it does happen to have those as well. As for looking at curved surfaces and so forth, all of the devices that I have autofocus, so there really isn't an issue with looking at curved surfaces. You simply just turn the bottle, whatever it is that you're trying to look at, and make sure that it's underneath the camera, and it'll definitely be able to pick it up without any problems.
Kathy, we have a question. Right?
I'm in the back of the room. Are there any questions in the middle or the back of the room here? I'm walking up towards the front. Any questions? Anybody? All right. Doesn't look like there are any questions. All right. You've got the microphone.
Because they may be done, but I'm not. Okay. What kind of training options and documentation comes with each of these products?
Ed, do you want to go
and,
first?
We'll start with Amy.
Okay.
Oh, great. I'm on the hot seat now. Training associated with the products is we'll go out to the person's house, we'll go out to the person's work site, we will go to the schoolhouse, whatever the case may be, and we will provide the necessary training. If it happens to end up to take 1 hour, 2 hours, we'll be there. It's not a problem. If we need to go back for subsequent training, we can do that as well. There's also, you're welcome to call me on the phone. We do have the factory, which is located in Southern California. They can answer any questions that a person may have about technical issues and so forth. We also do have a user's manual that's included with each product.
And Mark?
Okay. So it comes with your basic user's manual. We'll deliver it, same thing, to wherever you are and to your home. We'll set it up. And regarding training, we'll definitely provide whatever training you need. However, the desk set is made to be very extremely easy to use and portable. So essentially, as you take it in and out of the case, you don't really have to put it together or move it around. So it just, you turn on the button. So essentially, I think people can learn how to use all the features on it, you know, within minutes. But will be available for you, and that there's no extra cost for us helping you learn how to use the unit. And then regarding if you have any questions afterwards, we're available by phone or email. We have a toll-free number, and you can call us really at any reasonable time.
Ed?
HumanWare has training for all of its products. As far as low vision, though, we do have a dealer network that sells the product that we go through, and they can support and provide in-home training and set up and assistance and be the first line for support in that way. We do have a technical support team based across the country and also here in Concord locally to give you support. Of course, we have user manuals. And if there's any need for training classes, what have you, as far as low vision, I'd be happy to organize that and present that, and I can also be called personally. So training shouldn't be an issue.
Jesse has Donna a question from our online audience.
Donna from our online audience would like to know about the battery life for each product.
We'll start with Mark.
It actually, my understanding, the desk set, it works basically through a power cord. So it does. There's other Onyx units that work with laptops, like the SwingArm and FlexArm, and the battery life runs off of a laptop computer. So quite a few hours it will last on the battery type of Onyxes.
Amy?
The Acrobat LCD plugs into the wall, so it does not have a battery at this time. The factory is working on one, though. With the Nemo, it has an internal battery, and the battery life on that particular product is about 3 hours before you have to charge it. And with the Amigo, the battery is a camcorder battery that you can take in and out, and it comes standard with two batteries, and each battery lasts for about an hour and a half. And if you need subsequent batteries, you can get those from Fry's, any electronics store, whatever the case may be. A total battery life on the two batteries would be 3 hours before charging.
And Ed, the Energizer Bunny.
It just keeps going. The MyReader is not a battery-operated device. It's a wall device, just like the other two LCD transportables that were discussed on the panel here. The Pocket Viewer is a portable device with a rechargeable battery. It has a 2-hour continuous life, and it has a 10-minute auto shutoff in case you forgot to save the battery. The Classmate also is a battery device. I'm not sure. I think it's about 8 hours continuous use, but I have to double check on that.
Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour, unfortunately. So we're going to just ask you all each to do one thing, starting with Ed and moving to your right. If you can just give us the contact information where people can follow up with you. And again, for our in-house audience, these folks will be available at 3 o'clock for more questions. Go ahead, Ed.
Thanks. The HumanWare is, you can go to our website at www.humanware.com. And look for information there, or you can contact me personally. My email is ed.wickdall, it's W-I-K-D as in David, A-L-L, at humanware.com. Or you can call 1-800-722-3393 and inquire there.
Mark?
Okay. Access Ingenuity's website is at www.accessingenuity.com, and Access Ingenuity is A-C-C-E-S-S, and Ingenuity is I-N-G-E-N-U-I-T-Y. We have a toll-free number, and that is 877-579-4380, and you can always email me personally at any time, ask any questions at Mark, M-A-R-K, S as in Sam, at accessingenuity.com.
And Amy?
A&E Low Vision is located in Sunnyvale, and our toll-free number is 877-624-9080. Our local phone number is 408-738-1716. Our email, our address is aelowvision@comcast.net, and our website is www.aelowvision.com.
Thank you very much for coming. And let's give a big hand to all five of our vendor panelists. Remember to talk to these folks at 3 o'clock after our next panels. And now we will change to our consumer panels, where we will have a chance to get perspectives from the other side of the desk.
Patty and Ron, if you could make your way forward, that would be great. One of the things we think is important, and we have made it a trend in our technology seminars thus far, is to represent both the vendor perspective as well as the end user perspective, because many of us know that once you get something out in the field, sometimes it test drives a little bit differently than maybe it did when you were in the showroom. So we try to have consumer end user representation at all of our seminars. The next panel will be people who use optical character recognition, which we're lovingly calling OCR, in their day-to-day lives. We have Patty Kiones Hudson, who is an assistive technology teacher here at the Lighthouse, and Ron
Hidashima,
who is an access technology teacher at the Living Skills Center for the Blind and Visually Impaired. And Ron, I think...
That's in San Pablo?
Your microphone is right. Here.
Oh, okay.
Got it? Swallow the mic.
All right.
And Patty, are you on?
I am.
Your mic?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, yes.
So, and Frank and I are going to tag team this one.
What does that mean?
It means we're going to each ask questions. In other words, they have to put up with both of us.
Gosh. Be afraid. Be very afraid. All right. So, Ron, we're going to start with you.
Okay.
I'm non-traditional and such, ladies first and all that, out the window. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the technology that you use to read printed materials regularly in your life.
Okay. Getting feedback. Okay. I'm Ron Hidashima. I've been an access technology instructor at the Living Skills Center for, this is my seventh year. I train students. Oh, okay. Can you hear me now? And I've been there for 7 years, training students to become self-sufficient in use of computers and access technology. And, I use both Kurzweil, the software, and OpenBook at home. If I have to use other means at work, we do have a KNFB, is it a classic reader? And we do have a Patriot Scan and Read. That's a standalone.
The standalone is called what?
Patriot.
Scan and Read?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that. What is that system like?
It's like Damien's Sarah, but it's very simplified. You only have a couple of buttons and... you can archive materials, but it's just like a Windows XP machine with the OCR.
And that's good for what types of tasks?
It's just for printed material.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does not do handwriting. Well, none of the OCRs do handwriting.
I know that there are some people who really like the standalones, like to look at the envelope, the return address on an envelope, maybe.
Or, right.
You know, in terms of home use, those are generally places where the standalones do pretty well.
Right.
Patty, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the types of OCR software that you use in your day-to-day life?
Okay. My name is Patty Quiñones, and I've been working in adaptive technology for about a little bit close to 10 years already, training. And I am like Rom. I use OpenBook and Kurzweil, and also sometimes experimented with OmniPage as well. So I can say that I'm fortunate enough that I have access to those two programs and work with them as well and use it on a daily basis.
Okay. I'm going to start with Patty on this next question. And of course, we can use a lot of readers. We can do a lot of different kinds of documents, whether it's handouts you might get in school or phone books or the mail. For the different kind of OCR products you've used, what are some particular types of documents where each one really shines, and what can you think of documents where they just fall on their faces? And Patty, if you can start.
Okay. I think, I mean, if we're talking about Open Book and Kurzweil, both of them are very compatible in that regards. The way that have you, I have used both of the programs is basically for magazines. I think that where I find it very difficult to use an OCR is to read newspapers. And one of them is, it's not so much for the recognition, but the way that the newspaper has been set up. You know, you start reading an article and then suddenly it switches to page 5, colon A, or so it's very difficult to manipulate that, being able to read a newspaper. And as a trainer, when somebody asks me, there is another way to have access to newspapers instead of using an optical recognition software. In regards to reading books, hands out, both of the programs, that's really, really well.
And Ron, what about you? What with the different kind of documents you deal with, which ones do better in which areas and worse in
others? Well, obviously, it seems like if the prints, the page is black on white, if the prints are black and then the background's white, it does well. Both softwares do well. When the background is dark, and there's not enough contrast, I think it doesn't do as well. And then obviously, if the page is like really, crunched up, it's not going to do that well. Or folded many times.
Have you had a chance to play with you mentioned you have the NFB Reader Classic.
Yes.
Does it perform similarly, or did you get different results than with, say, Open Book or Kurzweil?
My problem with the KNFB Reader is, it takes practice to be able to get all edges of the page or capture all edges of the page. So they do have a test sort of a viewer. And so it requires a lot of, like, getting used to, you know, how far you have to have the camera apart being able to hold the unit for, like, I don't know, 15 seconds without shaking.
Yeah. How did you go about learning that process, Ron? That's the one thing that I've consistently heard about the KNFB Mobile and the KNFB
Right.
Classic is that if you don't have any vision, it's
Right.
challenging.
It is challenging. And then I understand that their KNFB, the people who make that, came out with a stand. Think that's true. It comes, you could buy the, purchase the stand, which it makes it a lot easier to, you know, capture the pages.
But after practice, you were able to do it? Is that an accurate
statement? I'm still practicing. But, I guess there are ways. I was shown, there's couple of ways of doing it. You could actually put the page on the table and then sort of align it with the table, maybe, and do it that way. Or the other way was holding the page in front of you, and then taking the picture from, like, you know, having the KNFB reader sort of on your chest, kind of.
Right, right. Yeah. That makes sense.
But yeah, it is a challenge. It requires practice.
Patty, I know that you have used OmniPage. That's correct, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And I want to be sure that we talk a little bit about OmniPage because it's an option that's significantly cheaper. Can you talk a little bit about your experience with OmniPage? How well does it work for folks like us who can't see? It's an off-the-shelf product. I believe it's made by Xerox.
Yeah, it works really well. In fact, you know, all the other recognition software, optical recognition software, are using that particular engine. The only withdrawal about this particular software is that it is multiple steps to get one page scan. Mm-hmm. So whereas in the Open Book and Kurzweil, you press one key and there you have it. With OmniPage, is several steps to have that page scan. So if you are a strong computer user, if you don't get frustrated with the computers as soon as you turn it on, and you like to go to the steps, that is just an excellent solution for people who do, you know, who a little bit, their budget's a little bit tight, or they don't have a third party to help them purchase the software. It basically takes that document to Word, as a Word document, and then you have either your screen reader or your magnification program read the text for you.
Have either of you had experience using your OCR products in, you might say, an unusual situation, like when, say, if you were on the go or traveling and having it set up in a hotel room? And if so, can you describe what that was like? And we'll start with Patty. Have you had that experience of not perhaps using your product in the usual way of sitting at your desk with your documents and the way we usually do?
That's interesting. I have not had that situation. What I do is, if I need to have access to certain documents, and I know that I'm going to have access to certain documents, what I do is scan it and then transfer that file to MP3. And then I will be able to have access to any computer being able to listen to that way. But I'm one of those persons who rather doesn't have to take something that is going to kill my back or something. So if I'm using a laptop, I'd rather not use bring a scanner with me. But if I know ahead of time that I'm going to be using certain documents, what I do is just scanning them and then transfer to MP3 files.
And Ron, have you had experiences along those lines?
Well, you know, if I have to scan something, yeah, I will just scan it at home and then save it as, you know, either a text file or MP3, and then just carry it all around using, you know, carry the PDAs that I have.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, the KNFB reader, both the classic and the mobile, really sell their portability. Have you had a chance to play with that and see how well it works, as you might say, in the field, on the road?
Well, I just saw the mobile today through Mark Givens.
Yeah, it's random.
So I haven't had the chance to play around with it. Yeah, it's only the KNFB Classic that I've been playing around with.
Mm-hmm. And what can you tell us a story or two about what happened when, you know, if you maybe tried to read a menu or tried to read a sign with it or something like that, other than just sitting at your desk and reading a document with it?
Right. I haven't tried it at a restaurant because I knew that it was going to take me a while to just even get the page, you know, the edges. So, yeah, I haven't tried it outdoors yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just in, you know, at my work.
What types of OCR technology have you found work the best in your office setting? Does that differ from your home setting?
Me?
Yeah, you can start.
No, the setup is pretty much the same at home or at work. You know, I just have both, you know, the Open Book and Kurzweil on a laptop at home. And, you know, at work it's on two different stations. And then for those who just wants to, those who want to just see who, you know, the mail was for, they'll just use the Patriot scan and read if they don't have any computer skills yet.
Same for you, Patty?
No. My love of printer material definitely is larger here in the at the office. Yeah. So that's where I use most of the times. I use the optical recognition software. And at home, since I'm just going to get, basic mail, one-page mail,
right.
Then I use a CCTV, mm-hmm. since I'm low vision as well. So I primarily use it, the scanner here at the work, where I have more material to read, and then at home is just a CCTV.
I don't know about anybody else here, but I have a lot of gadgets, and I tend to break them. Not on purpose, I assure you. However, sure. The durability of products that have been specially made for the blind, I have decided that it's my life's work to try to see if whether or not I can break them and how long it takes me. I should get out more. But I want to talk a little bit about durability. Some of these portable devices.
Right.
And we've all played with computers that maybe work the first and second time, and then the third time you get that Windows error message.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about the durability and bugs that you all have experienced.
About the portable ones?
Yeah, let's start with the portable ones.
Again, the KNFB Classic, it requires, it's kind of challenging. I have yet to be able to scan money on it. It just keeps saying, it's too dark or can't see the bill or whatever. But I'm sure it does. It's just that maybe I'm not pointing at it right, or I don't know. But durability-wise, I have dropped the KNFB reader, but it still works. It does work. No, I drop a lot of stuff, too. We don't have much space in our lab.
I also have tried using the KNFB mobile to scan money. And once I did, like you, I had to set it on the table to get it lined up properly.
Right.
But once I used the table edge as my guide, it worked in terms of recognizing the money. But it took me a couple times to get the alignment right.
Does it recognize 20s?
I've heard is that it has a tougher time with 20s than other bills.
Yeah.
But maybe that's something, hopefully that's something they're working on resolving.
Because
I use a lot of 20s too.
Right, like Kurzweil, the software, recognizes every bill except for 20s. It has a really hard time recognizing the new 20s. So every time there's this bill not recognized,
it's
a 20. And, it's pretty accurate.
Patty, how about durability and bugs?
Well, the nice part of it is, in my case, is that if I have start having a lot of problems with my software, I just bring the CD again and reinstall the software. I haven't encountered, when it comes to the CCTV that I use at home, I've been using this probably for about 12 years. And I'm very simple. The CCTV that I'm using is ready to go to the museum of CCTVs and everything.
But it works.
But it still does what I'm requesting.
But your scanning software? No.
My scanning software, like I said, I have done reinstall the software several times since I've been using it. And I think just that's the nature of some of the products in general, Windows products.
Mm.
This question is for the newbies out there, the folks that have been itching to get into this reading technology, but they just haven't had the chance yet, and they're still trying to get their heads around the whole idea. So I want to give a basic scenario to each of you and just describe step by step what happens when you encounter this.
Okay.
Let's say I walk in here, and I present you with a brand spanking new copy of Time magazine that I just picked up at the newsstand for you to read. Now, just tell us step by step what you do in order to get from having this magazine in your hand to, let's say, reading the article that starts on page 3. So, Patty, why don't you start and just tell us
what it's like, say, using Open Book or Kurzweil.
Okay.
To read just to read a document, step by step.
Okay, so you know that if you're going to be using Open Book or Kurzweil, you're going to be using a computer. It's not a standalone unit. So basically, you turn the computer on. Most of the adaptive technology already has set up a keystroke so that you can go to the program. So you press Alt Control All in that case, or Open Book, and then it will announce when the program is on, and then you just press the zero, and then we scan the page, and it automatically will read the page. And if that's all you need, then you can turn the program. Once you finish, you can turn the program off.
Pretty
that's
simple.
Simple.
Now, Ron.
Yeah.
Let's now describe. I give the magazine to you, and you've got your KNFB classic there on the table in front of you. Tell
Doesn't
us what
have
you do.
To be Can't I just use the Patriot?
Well, you can do both. Just tell us. Okay, first you're going to use the Patriot, and then you're going to show us.
Oh, okay. So Patriot, like I said, is made. It's very simple to use. There's a BART button, a circular button on the left of the in the front panel. Just push that button, and then you're gonna get sort of the Windows XP kind of sound, and then the voice will come up, and you pull the lid up of the scanner, place the magazine, print down, close the lid. And in this case, it's already in scan and read mode, so you just press a button. That's kind of like the OK button. And then it'll scan. And then it'll convert the scanned image into speakable text, and it'll start speaking the page.
Are either of you familiar with Text Cloner Pro?
No.
Okay, then I'm not going to ask any questions about that.
Well, we can make it up.
Let's see how far that takes us. question from Chris in the virtual audience. He has a question for you, Ron. Uh-oh. Do you think the cost of the KNFB mobile has been justified? No pressure.
Well, we paid the original price, so, and it, you know, I understand it came down to 2000 or 1995.
Yeah, 19 something.
It's not justified. it's still a good concept. It's a great concept, you know, having a portable scanning device. But, you know, a lot of us personally won't be able to afford it. Yeah, you know, unless you're under the rehab. So hopefully, you know, the price will come down significantly.
All right.
Do we have a question from the audience?
I'm going to come around with the mic just a second. Anybody back here? Yep, I'm going to start in the back here. I've got Becky. Just a second.
I have a question about scanners. And are any of you aware of a scanner that will accommodate a legal size page and therefore a hardback book, because it's really difficult to scan hardbacks a lot if you have that flat on the scanner bed?
There are scanners that will accommodate a legal size paper. That would be like 8.5 by 14, right? Rather than 11. Yes, there are scanners that will accommodate that.
Let's get that cute young lady in the front here.
Okay. I'm walking up here, and there's a gentleman on the inside here. Making my way up.
You talked about using the MP3 when you're, and how is that used in conjunction of getting, you know, you're at the office and you're going to be going out of the office, and And like if you're, let's say you're traveling, you mentioned that you would copy the document and then put it on MP3. And what does that mean by putting it on MP3, I guess?
You transfer the text to MP3 file, and this is how I use it. So let's say that I'm going to be reading a document or a chapter, whatever, a book or something like that, and I have a scan it. And in the open book, and Kurzweil has a function to transfer that text to an MP3 file. So once I do that, then I can burn the CD. I can burn that file on a CD, and then I have it. I can have access to whatever I want to do. I mean, if I'm going to be going to a classroom or if I'm going to a meeting and I have to review the document, then I have access to that using my any device that will allow you to use MP3 files. Even a lot of the CD players now play in MP3 files. I'm one of those persons who hates to be reading something. If I'm at home, I hate to be reading a book in front of the computer. So if I'm able to just put it in a portable device, then I can just move around the house or do other things and being able to have access to that material.
All right, and there was a question someplace.
Up here
in the front.
Okay. I thought I saw a hand over here, too. Okay. I'll come to the back in a second.
Okay. Thank you. I want to apologize to all of you here for my losing my cool. I don't apologize to the people who are running this. What do you do? I'm sitting here listening to you and the panel before you and the panel before that, and maybe everybody in this room is computer literate and cell phone literate. I was voted to come and represent a group of 400 seniors in this city and bring a report back to them about what there might be for them. Many of them still have vision, as I do, limited. For the most part, I've sat here, and I apologize for my ignorance, not knowing what any of you are talking about. Most of them do not have cell phones because they're too small for them to see. Most of them do not have computers because they can't operate them. And so what, in your experience, I hope you work with some older people, we're not all dead. What do you, seriously, you're using initials, you're using numbers, and I admire how knowledgeable you all are. However, your knowledge for older people is either limited and or non-existent. Where do we go for help?
I want to thank you for that question. That is an excellent question. It's one that needed to be asked here today. And that's what perhaps the most important question that's been asked all afternoon, in fact, is for the person that needs to read when their eyes don't work so well anymore, whether that is using something that does magnification or using something that converts text to speech. Tell us what you would recommend to somebody who doesn't want to become an engineer or a computer nerd.
I'm going to answer that question because I do work primarily with seniors. Like you say, it's a great question because a lot of the times we get a person who just say, you know, my granddaughter say, why don't you just get a computer and be an expert and all that. There is standalone units for reading material. And, you know, we here at the Lighthouse, we have the Sarah. So it can be a very simple machine that you just press one button, turn it on, another button to scan, and that's about it. You know, you don't have to worry about any other buttons. As you get more comfortable with this machine, you can start playing around and make it a little bit more sophisticated, have access to books that they are there. You can also put it, you can plug into your television so that you can be reading along with that machine. Okay? So It is very important. Now, the other thing that you need to always consider is how you're going to be using this equipment. Are you going to be using it for just scanning what you have in your mail? And if that's the case, maybe you don't need a very sophisticated program or machine. Maybe you just need a CCTV that you can just turn it on, put it under the camera, see what you need to see, and then turn it off. It's all about what you need. And the goal about adaptive technology is that the adaptive technology should be working for you instead of you spending hours and hours and hours of trying to learn that adaptive technology.
So the alternatives definitely are out there. And Ron, you want to chime in on this question?
Exactly what Patty said. There are standalone reading systems or CCTVs that may do the job.
Standalone.
Standalone means it is a unit with other operations. How do you define standalone?
Well, a standalone is not connected to a computer.
Right.
It's just a
machine by itself. And that's what it does. It just scans text and reads it to you.
We know that there are a couple more people that were trying to get questions, but we're a little over time, so we're going to need to bring up our next panel. But again, remember that folks will be around after this next panel so that you can talk to folks after the session. The main part of the session is over.
You're listening to live coverage of the Reading Machine Seminar
Silvana
from
and Chris,
the
if you
Lighthouse
can make your
in San Francisco
forward.
On ACB Radio World.
Thanks a lot, Patty and Ron.
Yes.
So our next panel has two individuals, Silvana Rainey from Adaptive Technology Specialists and Chris Piper from Sensory Access Foundation. And they are both very knowledgeable about portable CCTVs and handheld magnification devices. They're also users of these devices.
I want to chime in for a moment. For some of these acronyms we've been mentioning, I should mention what CCTV means, closed circuit television, and these things are also called video magnifiers. So if you haven't seen them, what most of them look like is they'll look like a television, but they'll either have a tray underneath of them or they'll have a camera next to them which you use to focus on a document. And that document, the picture of the document, then appears on the TV screen. And then there are different forms of these things. Some of them are very small. Some of them have different kinds of screens. But that's the basic idea. They're also called video magnifiers.
So why don't we start by having each of you tell us a little bit about yourselves and the equipment, the magnification devices that you use on a day-to-day basis. Silvana, can we start with you?
Sure. My name is Silvana Rainey. I am with Adaptive Technology Services. It's great to be here at the Lighthouse. That's where I started 12 years ago. I'm old. I am low vision myself, so because of that, I need to use devices in order to access information in hard copy as well to access my computer. It's a very simple thing, and I want to talk in a way that everybody can understand. So when we say that access something hard copy, it would be reading books, magazines, medicine labels, to read the tag on my clothes, everything like that. So for that, I use electronic video magnifiers, what we've been calling CCTVs. And as Frank explained before, we have different types of CCTVs, and I think today we're going to be talking about portable ones. And I basically use many portable electronic magnifiers because I have to demonstrate to clients. So I hope in our panel here, people are going to get an idea what they do and how to shop for one. So, Chris.
Okay. My name is Chris Piper. I'm from Sensory Access Foundation. I'm the Director of Technology Services. We provide job preparation and placement services, job retention and job accommodation services, and also access technology training. On a day-to-day basis, I use a standalone video magnifier at my desk, and I also use several portable magnifiers. I demonstrate and recommend all sorts of equipment on a weekly basis for clients at their own job sites. So I pretty much have used almost all of the devices.
Is there one in particular that you find you use more than others just because of kind of your lifestyle? I know this isn't meant to be a recommendation, but each of us have our own preferences. Is there a portable unit that you use, Silvana, in your day-to-day life?
You know, that's a very good question, but I use whatever's in the office. And you have to basically know why you use certain device. You'd like to, if it is portable, if I'm using a portable unit, it's because I need to go somewhere, or it's because I need to bring the unit to what I'm reading. So basically, I cannot bring my book to my desktop electronic magnifier. So for different tasks, I use different devices. And what I think what's very important, it's not what I use or someone else use, is to recognize different features that can help in different situations. Of course, not everybody can use different, can purchase different units. So when you're shopping for a unit, you need to look in a series of things that might help you. People see differently. People have different visual abilities. Some people can see colors. For some people, colors are not important. For some people, high contrast is very important. So you need to look into brightness. If that unit offers the way to change your brightness, if that unit, the buttons on the unit, is that easy for you to feel? It's not easy for you to feel those buttons. The battery, how long it's going to last. So basically, what we need to do when we are looking for a unit is to go through a list of things. First of all, like Patty said, what am I going to do with this unit? So then we can look into how you're going to choose one. So I hope I answer your question.
Yeah, absolutely. Your question. No, that's great. So if I am somebody connected, what it sounds like is that you're talking about needing to really do your shopping ahead of time, mm-hmm. but then also maybe even get an assessment for what unit might work best for you. Are those services that are paid for through Department of Rehabilitation getting an assessment?
They are, and I really recommend people to go through an assessment either with us or with Sensory Access Foundation. I believe SAF and us, we do not sell equipment. You guys don't sell equipment, right?
Right.
So we can give you, we don't make money selling equipment. We don't make any money recommending any equipment. So it is good to get an opinion from organizations like ours that have no interest in what equipment is going to be good for you. But I mean, in terms of money, what equipment, you know, we're going to make money with. There's nothing like that. We don't need to push an equipment to anybody. What we need to do is to look into your needs. So you can go to your rehab counselor. SAF have very competent people. We believe we're very competent as well. So it depends upon your area, what you want, and how you want to be, you know, working with people. It's good to get advice and non-partial advice.
So, Chris, I'm an individual, and I really like being able to take my work with me, to take my reading with me. I like the concept of portable, and I'm thinking about investing in a portable unit. Silvana mentioned some things to keep in mind. What are some things that you would add to her list, particularly for the portability, around the portability factor?
Well, one thing that I would take into consideration, for me, like Silvana said, the contrast is very important to me. Some units give you more contrast, and some units actually give you the ability to change the contrast. The other thing that I would think about is ergonomics, because a lot of the units that have a flat screen, you sit it flat on the paper, and you're leaning over top of the paper, still stick putting your face probably close to it, and so you're bending your back and your neck forward to try to read it. And there are some portable devices that allow you to flip up the screen so you're not leaning so far over. So that's definitely one thing that I would look at.
Can I add to that list?
Sure.
Go ahead. I am big, you know, I have a shopping list in terms of portable CCTVs. You want to look into so many things. First of all, you want to look into the image. When you're shopping for a portable CCTV, bring your own material, things that you read every day. You want to compare images. You want to move your device from side to side and see if there is a ghost or a trail. You want to see how the image sits with you. Really, it's very different. It's so amazing. I might be having like two evaluations back to back, and I show two, three devices, and people choose different devices. So first of all, you want to look into the image. Second of all, you want to look into the flexibility in terms of magnification. Is the maximum magnification enough for you to see something? How is the minimum magnification? For some people, the problem with the portable devices, it's really that they don't offer a small magnification. For some people, it's too big. So you want to look into, first of all, the image, second of all, the magnification. You want to look into, like Chris said, does that unit give me different contrast setting and color schemes? Our eyes are not made to be looking at the same time, for a long period of time with the same colors. Sometimes just because you change the color setting, it refreshes your eyes and you can read a little bit longer. Now, portable devices are not made for long readings. They are made for short readings. Your eyes are going to fall off. No, I'm kidding. They're not. But you're going to get tired really easily if you do that. So another thing you want to look into it, if you want to plug this device to a TV, can you plug this device to a TV setting? That might be important to you. Can you plug this device to a monitor, a computer monitor? That might be important to you. Do you have a capability of signing with it? Can you sign a bill? I'm sorry, I'm going on and on. Can you sign something? Can you sign a credit card with that? Does that come with the writing stand? Those are things that are important to you. Can you put in your purse? Is that something, you know, for some kids, for example, and I deal with students, they want something as discreet as possible. Is that silly? Well, I don't think so. It's their choice. So the model that I agree, you know, you have to look into, can you hold this? There are devices that you change the magnification by moving the electronic magnifier closer to the print. Well, that might not be a good thing for you if you cannot hold things steady. So there are a list of things that you need to shop and you need to look into it. Where are the buttons that I change the magnification? Do I press the buttons all the time and I turn my machine off not wanting to do that? The other day I worked with someone who has MS. He couldn't feel the buttons in many of the units. So you need to look into a lot of things. How are you going to hold that unit? What are you going to read? The battery life. Is that important for me to have 5 hours of battery life? Okay, so I'm going to look into it. So there's a list of things that you, and try it. You have to try as many units as you can.
I have a related question, and that is, since both of you have a lot of experience working with a lot of different people, have you found that there are certain types of video magnifiers that work better or are really a problem for people with specific eye diseases, especially, let's say, macular degeneration?
Chris,
you want to tackle that one?
Well, you definitely have to consider the screen size. A lot of people have different fields, and So you definitely don't want, if you have somebody with a very small pinhole type field, you definitely don't want something with a bigger monitor or anything like that. But I think definitely the ones with that give you more the contrast are very good for people with macular degeneration too.
Yeah, I have the juvenile kind of macular degeneration. I have Stargardt's. So, you know, if I had to, yeah, macular, the bigger the better. It is, because especially with the related aging macular, what it is, you basically have a scar in the center of your vision, for lack of a better description. And sometimes when you magnify the image, so then you can see it because it's out of your blind spot. Magnification, you want high contrast and you want as defined as possible. Sometimes it's the font type, it's more important than anything else. Because if you have a very fancy handwriting, if you're trying to read something like that, forget it with macular. So I don't see, Frank, to answer your question, one CCTV that's better than other for macular degeneration, really. Macular is so, you have so many different stages sometimes. And in terms of some, you know, one thing is most of the people read really slow with macular. You unfortunately, most of the people, there are exceptions. But on the other hand, you don't read that fast, so you don't create a trail when you move the portable CCTV. So I, you know, it's hard to say, oh, this CCTV is best if you have RP. This other one is best if you have macular. I don't think you can go by that.
One of the things that for somebody with macular that probably more than likely will not work is probably the head-mounted devices, because they are centered right in the middle of your eye.
Mm. Chris, can you talk a little bit about the training component? If someone is new to these devices, to the CCTVs and portable magnification, how difficult is it really to go from never using one to being proficient enough to maybe look through the mail and read basic documents?
Well, I think with most of the devices, you'd probably be up and running in around 15 to 20 minutes. Once you figure out the settings, that are best for you, most people just leave them on those settings, and it's just a matter of changing magnification on depending on what size text you're looking at. So really fast if it's a portable device.
Great. How about the documentation for these devices? Is it typically accessible, or do people have to go online, or how's the documentation generally?
The companies usually give you a manual with it. Sometimes they give you a manual in large print, or I guess what some of them expect you to do is just read it with your portable video magnifier. And I think they do supply them in PDF documents too. So.
Excellent.
Do we have anybody in the audience who's looking for a question?
Okay, I'm coming up. Just a second.
The basic question for me is, if you have to use one of these devices where you're looking down into a narrow corridor in order to magnify what you're looking at because you can't physically get to it, you can't get your nose all the way down into it, do they have those type of devices where the actual lenses are flexible or mobile to get down to narrow corridors or underneath a dashboard in a car? Because you need to see what the fuse panel is, you know, those types of applications.
There are yes and no. there's a once, I'm just, my mind just slipped, I forgot the name, and you might remember. I'll tell you later, but there is one CCTV actually that you can integrate. There's a camera, you can pull the camera out. It's not the Strix. Oh, I forgot the name, but I'll tell you. I'll remember. But you can take the camera out, actually, and point at something. So, you know, in this case that you need to see something that's far, there are different solutions. We need to work with you exactly to see what the setting is. But there's the different solutions that we can apply. Not knowing your eye disorder, not knowing how you handle magnification, because like Chris was saying before, there's a head mounting device, for example, that you can look into things at a distance. But also there are other solutions that we might look into it for your case. If you want to talk to me, and I'm sure if you want to talk to Chris, we're going to be around. I forget my business card, but we're going to be around here.
And our vendors as well.
Yeah. I have a question from someone on in the Internet audience about durability. It appears I'm not the only one who likes to break things. Can you talk a little bit about the durability of the portable units? And do they withstand being dropped?
Oh, man, they do, because I drop everything. I keep dropping my stuff. You got to be careful, though. You got to be careful. Those are absolutely those are expensive, you know, devices. You're talking about, depending upon the device, you're talking about $400 to, you know, $2,000. You got to be careful. There's a screen there. I mean, you have to remember that. There's a screen. But I think they're actually quite durable. I've never had any problems, and I'm not very delicate, unfortunately, with my devices. So.
And I have one of the first ones that came out, first portable devices that came out, and I still, it's still working, never had a problem with it.
Have you dropped it?
Oh, plenty of times.
Worse than that, we lend to clients. So, you know they're durable.
Kathy, do we have any more questions out there?
Any questions that we have out here? Actually, can I make a comment?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm a rehabilitation teacher, and one of the things I want to echo to what Silvana said is definitely trying out CCTVs or the video magnifiers, even if they're the desktop ones, because some ones are just easier to use. And so one may have one more features that seem very sexy and nice to have, but but when it really comes down to it, what are your abilities to be able to utilize things? And I say that with working with a lot of older adults that have macular degeneration as well as other health conditions. So someone has Parkinson's as well as another eye condition, and being very careful about trying out things and bringing in your own things to be able to read and put underneath a video magnifier, as well as looking at some of the portable ones. Is it really going to be something that's going to be functional for you? And the other one I wanted to bring up, and I know it hasn't come up in the last two panels, was I know that Department of Rehabilitation, I know, has been a place where people say, look at funding for potentially, if you are a client. I want to put out there is if you are a veteran, and you don't know about the Visual Impairment Services Team Coordinator, the Veterans has a connection that you can make that will not only provide you training and services, but will also assist with purchase of equipment. And CCTVs and things that they've been talking about here are really important to know about. So.
And Kathy, can I say something else too? When you're looking for a CCTV, really write it down, or you know, record or something. What I want to do with this? Because you know, it's the same with everything else. I mean, if you think about a house, you want to think about, you know, where you want to live and how many people are going to live there, and all the things are important to you. And the manufacturers work very, very, very hard to develop products that we can use, and they compete really closely. So there are a lot of portable devices right now. So you know they're trying to create better features. So it's not lack of development. But there are no perfect product. It is not one product that's going to do it all. So you have to narrow down what you want to do with it so you find the right piece of equipment that's going to suit most of your needs. And just be a little bit patient, because it is expensive, and you don't go and buy a $800 suit in, you know, in the first place you go shopping. So you want to look into something that really, really suits your needs.
Right. And as Silvana said, she loans equipment out. The Lighthouse, Vista Center for the Blind, Earl Baum Center have loan programs. So if you want to get on a list to loan basically the desktop versions, just to see if you even are going to take time to use it. It kind of gives you an idea of whether or not you are going to go make the purchase. So,
I'm going to squeeze in one last question here before I turn the microphone over to Jesse and to wrap this up. And that is, I want to do one last scenario for you. Imagine that instead of a room full of just plain folks here that we had a room full of engineers from these technology companies. What would you tell them is your biggest peeve about video magnifiers right now, today, that you wish they would fix?
Well, they don't vacuum my house.
It's not a Roomba magnifier.
You can go, Chris.
You sure?
Yeah.
I guess the biggest thing for the portable ones is the most difficult I have is the writing underneath them. Most of them, the writing feature isn't really practical.
Absolutely. Most of them, it's the writing features. And it is very difficult to write. And I wish, more people know about that and try it. Because, you know, even if it comes with a writing stand, you want to try to write something underneath it. And I want the smaller, the better, which is weird because you want a very small unit that gives you large print. It's tough, but it's true. You want as sleek as possible. You want more battery life and a good writing capability.
I want to thank you guys. I want to ask both Silvana and Chris if you'd state your contact information so that folks can get in touch with you afterwards.
Sure. My company is called Adaptive Technology Services. We are in San Francisco. Hope I remember all the phone number. The phone number, the toll-free, it's 866-564-6650. We have a 415-409-6650. If you guys want my email, it's S, as in Sam, Rainey, R-A-I-N-E-Y, at AdaptiveTech, no H, just T-E-C, .com.
And I'm from Sensory Access Foundation. We're in Sunnyvale. Our website is www.sensoryaccess.com. My email address is C as in Chris, Piper, P-I-P-E-R, at sensoryaccess.com. And if you want to see most of the equipment that was shown in all of the presentations today, we have a lab tour on the first Friday of every month that anybody can come in from the public and see all of the different equipment, and we'll walk through it with you and see what works for you.
I want to thank you both, and I have the wine.
Should I give him before the presentation?
Yeah. Well, earlier I had like three bottles in one hand. I was looking like quite the lush. So help me out here,
Jesse. I'll help you out. I'll take it from here.
Here you go.
Here.
One more.
Thank you.
All right, and I want to thank those of you who joined us by telephone or on the internet. Thank you to those of you who came in person. This is the fourth in our series of technology seminars. Our next one is scheduled for Friday, June 6th, same time, same place. And we want to get feedback from you all about what we should cover in that next seminar. The email address to send your feedback to is info@lighthouse-sf.org, or you're welcome to give us a call at 888-400-8933. We've had some requests to do our next seminar on Windows Vista and the new operating system on the Macintosh, which is Leopard. But we want to get some more feedback from you to find out if that's actually... If that seems to be something we get a lot of requests for, then we'll do that. If we get requests for something else, then we will make that our topic for the next seminar. So thank you to everyone for coming out. Thank you to our presenters. Thank you to ACB Radio. And we're going to sign off on our internet and phone audience.